Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
That's the wrong one. This is the right one.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Briscoe Brothers.
Jack and Jerry Briscoe, the tag team champions of auto body repair.
Briscoe Brothers.
Don't let your car go down for the count.
Briscoe Brothers.
Briscoe Brothers Body Shop, located in Tampa, Florida. It's worth the drive. Good God, stop the insanity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Robert Q. Sadlin, and there's an old saying, you only hurt the ones you love. Now let's meet the panel who really, really loves me. From New York, VRM.
To clarify my one statement from last week, while in the middle of that pick, we were trying to get back onto the Mass Pike in the middle of Worcester, and it was like this weird intersection where you had to go across the road, across two more roads, back across the highway to get on into the toll road, back across the highway to get in the right ramp. So, yeah.
And that is your New Jersey traffic report for this evening. Now over to sports and Typho.
Well, you know, today, after listening to Tiger Woods, he admitted a lot of things, but one thing we can be comfortable with, he did not sleep with that young intern. In fact, he was up all night.
And at the financial desk, we have Jason Block.
Everybody's got a price, I guess, including Tiger Woods' mistresses.
And our humble announcer, Jim Williams.
Humble? Me? I haven't had humble pie in weeks. What are you talking about? But I must say, the whole Tiger Woods thing, I got to tell you, that was some great writing by a fifth grader on that speech. I'm telling you, that was great.
Oh, shot. And finally, the person who really loves me, Nikki Haman.
Yay, verily, while I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. For I am straight edge, and that means I am better than you.
Trust me, Nikki. No, you're not.
Whoa.
For I was the one who smited your ass in Street Fighter 2 Special Championship Edition.
To which I retaliated by smiting you with a real pay-per-view chair.
It's the Brother Love Show on crack, ladies and gentlemen.
Brother Love Show on crack. That must mean it must be the Abraham Washington Show.
Oh, gosh. Which made a final appearance, as we'll get to later, I think. Yes.
And thank God it was the final appearance.
God, we hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, Tony Atlas?
Okay, can I beg a quick question? Who is the worst sidekick, Tony Atlas or Kevin Eubanks?
Tony Atlas.
No.
Well, they both laugh a lot. I mean, they're both very similar. I mean, you know.
No.
A laugh.
The answer is neither. You want to know who's the worst sidekick?
Who?
Quite simple. His name is Mark Men. Rimshot. Thank you.
Oh.
Moving on.
Thank you.
We had a pay-per-view called Against All Odds, and for some odd reason, every one of us forgot to do scores. Well, scores, that is, but BRM has the results.
Yes, well, basically, we all tanked a lot. especially since we all picked Angle to go on to win, and he lost in the first round.
Oops, a daisy.
You're okay.
Wolf like taking the Celtics last year in the playoffs. Whoops.
Whoops. In
everybody's defense, I'm kind of glad we were all wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to say, as last week's host, I am a prophet because I said word for word, when the Pope wins the tournament, we're all screwed.
You did. You did. That's...
And I was right, and we were all screwed.
Yes, well, we definitely agreed on Abyss and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a consensus, mostly, on Matt Morgan winning in his first round match.
Oh, well.
Mickey, the only one to go against the curve and go with Supermex.
That's all right.
Mm.
And with the Nasty Boys, it was split 50-50. Jimmy Hart made an appearance.
Yes, and his hair plugs went right by with him. Excuse
Come
me.
Come on, baby, pull the quill, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And basically, 1982 came and called and said they wanted their gimmick back.
Very much.
I thought it was
more like 1991 with Jimmy Hart as the Nasty Boys manager of the Helmet.
Even so, but whatever it was terrible. I actually got to see the pay-per-view live. The Desmond Wolf Pope match was awesome, by the way. Most of the first-round matches were pretty good.
All right. Oh, yeah. And then, Typho, Nikki, and Josh were the other ones. Were the ones who went with the Nasty Boys.
Don't doubt the Hulkster, brother.
I will double check these scores later. I want to go back up and touch the AJ match with Eric Bischoff as the special ref. Right before he came out, Hogan came over and said, "Call it right down the middle, no shenanigans." Bischoff says, "Okay," but the second Hogan walks away, he's like, "Damn it!"
Like a little kid being caught in the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
And Bischoff didn't have enough time to call Fonzie to come in and cover.
Yeah, and so
Bischoff
eventually
did.
Joe hits the muscle in the title match. Joe hits the muscle buster, but I forget, Bischoff is distracted by Flair as Joe goes for the pin, and he holds it for like 10 seconds while Bischoff's on the outside with Flair, and then Bischoff comes in, deck! He decks Flair, but then Joe gets him, pulls him back in the ring, and is like, "What are you doing? Count to three!" Then, as he corners Bischoff, he turns around, anyway! Style splash, 1, 2, 3. Oh, we're very reluctant. It was more like 1, 2, 3.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and by the way, how cheap ass was the Ric Flair, the Ric Flair Styles robe?
Kenny Dutch had a better one.
You know? Ooh.
I don't know what was worse, that robe or his suit provided by the Men's Warehouse Thursday night on Impact.
Yeah, and 1985 wanted AJ Styles sunglasses back, too.
No, no, he actually kept those sunglasses from when he was back in Air Raid.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm like, good grief. I mean, on the promo on Thursday night, when Fresh said, "Look inside, see that promo... see the suit, it says Armani." I'm like, "No, it says Men's Warehouse." I'm sorry. That's all you
I guarantee
afford.
It.
He can't afford. He can't afford Armani suits.
Not anymore.
No.
George Zimmer would be proud.
His ex-wife's probably got a closet full of his old suits.
Woo! Woo! Go on, Vera.
No,
and
I think...
as we already said, we all picked Angle to win the tournament, but it turned out that it would be the Pope over Mr. Anderson who would win the who would end up winning.
Anderson.
Despite the best efforts of Hall and Waltman.
So what are our scores, dude?
All right, so the unofficial, I have to go back and check this. Unofficially, in a four-way tie for second place, myself, Jason, fourth, and Nikki. And in first place with 4 points, and your new co NAWC Fizzleweight Champions, Typho, and Josh, who's not here.
I like that as his nickname, Josh, who's not here. Oh, because he's not here. Oh, okay, never mind.
That means I'll just take both halves of my belt and hold it up high.
Well,
here's a full, that gives him a full pen and he can go to the temple.
In the chamber.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of the Elimination Chamber, we need to talk about the new names for WWE pay-per-views. List off the names. And we're going to go straight from WrestleMania, which is WrestleMania 26. They'd be fools not to be fools to name that one.
Wait a minute, it's not the 26th anniversary? Oh, okay.
WWE major event.
Vintage Mania, yes.
Vintage Typho.
Oh, my.
And then we have replacing Backlash is Extreme Rules.
Okay. Because no one's good enough to call Backlash in this promotion.
Okay. And then we have a new pay-per-view for May replacing Judgment Day.
Which needed replacing.
WWE Wild Card.
You.
What does that mean?
That means everybody's going to play rounds of Catch 21.
Okay.
Or Uno.
No. The answer is it's going to be a roulette pay-per-view. They're going to
spin the wheel, make the deal?
That's
yeah.
Right. And I believe that's the one that's going to be in Detroit. So I might bite the bullet and go.
Ooh. All right.
The coal miner's glove on the wheel.
I want to get this midget again.
Okay. Then
I want a Yeti match on the wheel.
A Yeti match. I want a minor 49er match on there.
Complete with picture of Scott Hall.
No, it's got to be better. This time it's a picture of Marty Jannetty.
No. If they're going to do this, they're going to do it right. It's going to be a picture of Jeff Hardy.
Oh!
Because who knows? Maybe by that time, maybe he'll be found not guilty and he'll be back in WWE or TNA. Who knows?
You never know. I mean, seriously, stranger things have happened. I just watched the documentary. Don't be surprised if he's not back on TV sometime this year, no matter what happens.
Good.
Don't be
surprised. Of course.
You know, I mean, if for some reason he is cleared of everything, you know, or, you know, he gets on probation, he'll be back. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He's got too much of a fan base.
Yeah, and that means Nancy Grace will have about 2 weeks' worth of stories about this.
That bitch. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you're right, Jim. That pardon my French.
French is legal.
So what's the next pay-per-view after Wild? What is it, Wild Card?
Yeah.
Wild Card.
That. Sorry, hey. I had to censor myself. And now we have a Typho. What was the name of that pay-per-view that you were hyping around that WWE should rename a pay-per-view to?
WWE singles match.
We have... Well, here's something just as bad. WWE Fatal 4-Way.
Fail. For that?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Writers,
all these,
they're geniuses.
They're schlups is what they are. Here's the thing. To name a pay-per-view after a gimmick doesn't sit well with me. It just seems like you've run out of throwing darts at a dartboard. Hell in a Cell. On paper, oh boy, a bunch of Hell in a Cell matches. But it's like having too much ice cream, not good. And of course, the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view did not have all Hell in a Cell matches. Not that we would have wanted two women in a Hell in a Cell, but I'm just saying.
It had done it.
Well.
Yeah, Layla just said in a recent interview that the Divas won an Elimination Chamber match, to which I reply, dear God, help us all.
Yeah, but...
No, just,
exactly.
Hit it with the Tom Go, no.
That automatically puts them in the ring for more than 20 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
Which means unless your name is Natalya, Beth Phoenix, Mickie James, or
Gail
Maurice,
Kim.
Or Gail Kim, you're fucked.
It's Botchmania.
Yeah.
So now get this, though. When is the one pay-per-view that kind of screws up WrestleMania? When is that one?
That is next.
Okay.
July 18th. Money in the Bank.
Exactly.
Fail!
Who voted for that in that poll? And why?
Now, hold on a minute. May I play devil's advocate for a second?
You're good to that. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, while Money in the Bank is was created by Chris Jericho and has been in there for now 4 years, correct? Or five matches, 4 years?
Five matches, 5 years.
Okay. Wouldn't it be interesting, though, if they used that as sort of a lead-in towards, say, SummerSlam or matches down the road? Because if you put the Money in the Bank in a later time, you lose some people lose interest. You know? Oh, he's got the Money in the Bank for the 10th month. When's he going to cash it in? People will be bored by then.
That's when Edge did it. First time he had the Money in the Bank, he held on to it till New Year's Revolution.
I understand that, but he's Edge. I'm saying to you, let's see how they do it first, then we can say fail. Although I will say this, to not have it on WrestleMania is a fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that normally eats up 30 minutes.
Yes.
And it's a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, it tends to be one of the highlights of the night.
Rock return.
Just,
okay.
And then August 15th is SummerSlam. Probably one of the few pay-per-views.
Whoa, wait. They didn't rename that the Summerfest after what happened last year? Oh. Okay.
Jeremy,
I was expecting that.
No.
The Miz would be banned from the show if they did rename it.
I'm going to go to Hoagie Fest. Screw that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then we have, as the September pay-per-view, Night of Champions. Okay.
Well.
Yeah. At least we know every single title is going to get defended on that show. Yes, including the ones that really don't matter, like the Divas title.
The Butterfly Belt, yes.
The Pretty Pretty Princess title. The Sailor Moon Invitational.
Yeah, Pretty Pretty
Princess. Pony Belt.
I like Sailor Moon Invitational. That's good.
Yeah. All right, then who gets to be Sailor Mercury, Sailor Venus, Sailor Mars, Sailor Jupiter, Sailor Saturn?
I'm sorry, anime?
And who gets to be the cute two little cats that were around during that show's run?
Oh, dear God.
One of the cats is Ziggler.
I think he's suffering from post-chair shot disorder tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. Okay, do not fuck with the anime geeks, okay?
I'm not!
Just because I know that one of the cat's names is Luna doesn't mean anything, okay?
Was the other name Vashon?
No,
okay. Just
saying. All right. And sadly for everybody here, they're still going to do two pay-per-views in October, and 10-03, 2 weeks out, is Hell in a Cell.
In Dallas, I might add. I hope to be there.
Well, I was at the first one. God help us all.
Well, it can only go up from there.
No, you can't. You can still go worse.
I'm cringing on the inside already.
Tina Orton, too.
Go
don't
there and don't say that too loud.
They will do it. Storyline writing be damned.
By then, Orton will be face, Cena will be face still, and they'll just say it's a respect match or something.
No.
It's a matter of respect.
They respect each other so much that they want to do another Hell in a Cell.
And convert and just cover each other with baby oil, and it'll be just wonderful.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
I'm sorry, I need to hear it. I just wanted to hear it, I'm sorry.
All right.
Baby oil.
All right, that's enough.
God bless Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of baby oil, no. That was the sound of some people when TNA announced they're moving to Monday nights.
May I be the first to say, A, I told you so. And,
yes, you did.
And B, this is brilliant. This is a win-win situation for everybody. Everybody's going to poo-poo it and say, oh, Hogan's moving over to Monday nights. It's going to be the 50-year-old all over again. Let's play a little number, shall we? The numbers for Raw are 3.6 on average, right?
Well, not this week. It was a 3.4.
Okay, but let's just make an even number, 3.5, right?
That works.
Okay.
It's odd, but I understand, yes.
Okay.
Rimshot.
And Impact's ratings were what?
1.5.
Okay, so that is a combined 5, all right? If, with the competition and curiosity, you can increase the wrestling viewership by just 1 point, it's a win on both sides. Vince, whether he likes it or not, is better when he competes against somebody. When he says he's not worried, he's worried. Okay? I'm telling you this. This is going to be good for everybody. Sorry.
No.
I think you're right.
All right, let's hear the... Now, we have to give equal time for the opposition, so let's go to Nikki Haman, then we'll go to you, Jim.
Fair and balanced. Go ahead.
Unlike Fox News.
I'm sorry. I think it... Number one, it's too soon for TNA to start going head-to-head with WWE. The nostalgia is already starting to wear off with TNA. Their ratings have been declining over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And walking in with a 1.2 against a 3.6, or thereabouts, is essentially going to beat up an elephant with a stick. It's not going to work. Now, I might have to back off a little bit. I'm not going to give up on my bet, Jason.
Okay. Yes, we have a bet going.
We need to explain this bet.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Okay. I believe that this move is going to kill TNA. I really think that there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, name calling, disillusionment, pulling of funding, and TNA will be dead by the end of the year. Hogan is already frustrated. Hogan has admitted on radio, because of me, that he is throwing crap against the wall to see what sticks. You can't book like that as the number two company in the country. That's what almost killed him in the first place with Russo, and that's how WCW died. And you all know I don't watch reruns. And here we go again.
However, the interesting thing was, and hopefully you won't mind me bringing up a personal conversation, but you told me that that was your main problem with WWE programming.
That was?
No reruns.
I said that earlier because we were talking about the fact that WWE was going to have a whole channel.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on.
I like that idea. But I'm talking about the fact that TNA is a rerun from 10 years ago. I don't have WWE Classics, but I can get a hold of enough people who can send me those tapes.
All right. Jim, go ahead.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with Nikki in that this could be the move that kills TNA. It could well be. I don't think anybody here in their right frame of mind thinks TNA is going to pull a WCW and take over the number one spot. I don't see that happening. I don't think anybody sees that happening at this pace. But I look at it from a fan standpoint, you get more wrestling on Monday nights. You get options. You can go between matches. You can go between this, that, and the other. And it actually, in theory at least, allows each promoter and each company to step their game up. And perhaps, and this is just an outside chance, maybe this begins the end of the PG-ification of the WWE. Because if they want any chance to, if they want to keep their footing where they are and not lose any audience, they may have to go not necessarily as risque as the Attitude Era, but a little bit more than the PG-ification they have right now.
I'll give you a date on when the PG-ification of WWE ends. You want to know when it ends?
March 8th.
No, November 8th.
Okay.
That is the Monday after when Linda McMahon loses her Senate bid.
Okay.
I don't buy that.
And everything goes out the window.
Oh, I don't buy that. I don't buy that because the WWE has spent years and years and years and money, the last 2 years, excuse me, and a lot of money promoting themselves as a family-friendly, environment. They're not going to do it. I'd love them to, don't get me wrong, but we're talking corporate environment here.
Are you saying... Are you saying just because they're a publicly traded company that they're going to maintain their PG-ification?
I'm saying that right now they have thrown down the gauntlet. I don't think they can ever go back to blood. To the, you know, naughtiness, to tits and ass, excuse my language, and things like that. They can't do it anymore. The genie's out of the bottle.
And it isn't being rubbed the right way.
The problem with that is there are some pay-per-views, namely Elimination Chamber, Extreme Rules, and I'm going to go far as saying TLC, where the blood is almost a necessity. I mean, consider the types of matches that you got there. These aren't the types of match. All four of these pay-per-views have a match where there is the 75 to 85% chance at minimum that there will be bloodshed in at least one match.
Absolutely.
Steel cages, or chain link fence, a grated steel floor, aluminum ladders, broken and sometimes flaming tables, other assorted household implements. And it's like, how can you have these things without blood? It has to be extreme if it's gonna be if they're gonna dumb it down with the PG-ification.
They got my hopes up at the Rumble when they didn't send somebody out to patch up Undertaker's bloody nose.
Well, if they did, he would have beat the hell out.
Yeah, it would have been worth it. I'd have paid. I'd have sent an extra $5 to WWE to watch Undertaker beat up the medics.
Pull Vader, just kick him right in the groin or something. There you go.
Ooh.
Oh my.
Oh no.
And I play that sound because we had absolutely the dumbest line fed to Michael Cole.
May I hear this dumb line? I didn't get to watch Raw because I was busy announcing basketball. What was this dumb line?
Okay, to set up the situation, Bret Hart came out and pretty much announced that thanks for the memories and goodbye.
Uh-huh.
See, he's still feeling the you deserve to be screwed
uh-huh.
Sort of deal. As I eat a gummy bear. So he says his goodbyes backstage. Some of the heels shake hands, including Jack Swagger. Bret gets to his limo. Some girl backs up and crushes his leg.
It would have been a more effective gimmick if she didn't have the reverse lights on and holding the brake down, idiot.
Yeah.
What?
I missed this because I just got on after he got. I just turned it on for the first time after he'd gotten hit. I missed
mm-hmm.
this, so oh my gosh. But...
And then
they can CGI it out. Not.
Yep. And then afterwards, they cut to commercial break. They talk. Michael Cole comes up and says, "This is the worst night in Bret Hart's career." Wrong.
Damn. Good God! Okay, so
strong.
Does the
That's
word
strong.
"stroke" mean anything to you?
Yeah, really.
So the
we
word
have an MMA edge right now.
Vintage Cole.
That's
vintage
right.
Cole.
No,
I'm
not blaming
not Cole. I'm blaming the person who fed that line to Cole. Because we all know Cole doesn't know wrestling, but he at least knows. What happened to Bret Hart? His brother falling 20 feet and basically dying on the spot.
He should know that. He was in the building that night.
Yep.
Yeah, that could be a worse situation. Yeah, possibly.
Let's say that both his mother and father are now dead.
Those were pretty bad nights.
How about a stroke?
Yeah. Stroke! Getting a concussion by Goldberg at Starrcade.
How about, I don't know, Montreal?
Good answer.
How about losing your Intercontinental title to the Mountie?
No, good answer. Yeah.
How about busting his sternum after being thrown by Dino Bravo and then continuing the match?
Oh, that was early on. What was that, 84, 85?
I will make sure I catch this and capture this when Universal HD re-airs it tomorrow. That'll be good to know. Okay.
How about losing a brother and 2 days later having to go out at Survivor Series and have a match?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or how about having to do an interview with Ray Combs?
That's horrible. Where's the Treads guy when you need him? Oh, no, it's not. No.
Where's Dean Wood when you need him?
How about having to have a coin toss with Lex Luger on Raw?
Oh.
I think I remember that, actually. Oh, jeez.
I do. It's about YouTube, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
How about having a 4-month-long feud with an evil dentist or a pirate who steals his jacket?
I didn't realize the commercial was there then.
Far now.
No, this was Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Yes.
No, I know. I'm being
facetious. Or sorry,
you really love leather jackets.
Moving on.
Yeah, we do need to move on.
Yeah,
we go from the worst night in the history of our industry to the greatest night. No, yeah, let's move on.
In the history of our sports.
Yes.
Let's well, not really, because it's the final episode of ECW.
Wham. Depends on who you ask, because at least it went out with a whisper, went out with not a single original in sight, and not even a decent retrospective to pay respects to what it was.
True.
However, it further cemented one thing. Yoshitatsu and Goldust will get another title shot.
Dear Lord, help us.
And it also gave us the NXT and the people that are going to be in it.
Yay!
And it also gave us the hopefully last ever Abraham Washington show.
Yay!
Okay.
Oh, he's
okay.
Going live
that's
on Raw.
That's a win right there.
Mm-hmm. That is a win right there.
He
I'm trying
great.
To find the spoilers.
He had his last show in the... He had his last show in the ring.
You could literally see people walking out and getting something to eat.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And I hope they.
Oh, not this! You could literally see the expression on the fans' faces. Oh, not this stuff again.
And
well, he's
I,
already
I
frustrated. He's dealing. He's dealing with Norman Smiley down in FCW, trying to weasel in on his job. He's got a lot on his mind.
You can't mess with Norman Smiley, though. He's a legend. Come on.
Makes you wish he could actually do the wiggle.
Big wiggle.
And for the last match in ECW history.
No, the last match in ECW history was...
Is Jerry Lynn versus Rob Van Dam.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Wrong. I forgot. That's not the real last match. That was the last televised match, but not the last match.
Yes, but you were, yes.
It was at a house show. They still did house shows after they lost TV.
Right.
It was... I gotta look this up.
But
I think
now,
it was Rhino
Stanley. I do want to say something, though. ECW... in its last incarnation, was actually not bad in the form that it was being used as a developmental place. Because you had people like CM Punk, John Morrison, Yoshitatsu,
Kofi Kingston,
go and name some more, Nikki.
Evan Bourne,
Jack Swagger, Evan Bourne.
Dude Busters.
I think we covered a pretty good chunk, so.
And
yeah.
Also Vance Archer. You want, you know, if you want to give him that. Because I will. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So far, so, yeah.
Because
and then we got the pairings for NXT, and here they are.
Yes.
We have Chris Jericho being paired up with Wade Barrett, and Nikki, you know him.
Wade Barrett had I met in Ohio Valley when he was still wrestling under the name Stu Saunders. He was tagging with Paul Burchill at the time. I was formally introduced to Mr. Barrett by Burchill outside the arena that day. I was also able to catch Barrett on Twitter recently, congratulating him on his NXT bid and on his trainer, to which he responded and remembered me from that particular meeting.
Now that's awesome right there.
That is cool. All
right, next up is CM Punk and Darren Young. Now, you already know who Darren Young is. He was the black person with the afro a month or so ago on SmackDown who came in and became a member of the Straight Edge Society.
Mm-hmm.
So there is continuity there.
That'll make for some fun TV.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Carlito. Well, they can't all be winners.
Poor Tarver.
Yeah, Michael Tarver.
We got 20 minutes. We still have Impact, SmackDown, and picks.
Mr. 1.9.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be knocking some people out.
Then we have MVP and Skip Sheffield. Who? Typho?
Skip Sheffield, you may remember from Tough Enough 4 as Ryan Reeves, the silverback. He was under a developmental deal before, was released, has since been brought back. He's now under the name Skip Sheffield. He's basically a cowboy who is a little mentally slow, I guess we could say.
That's silverback? Holy crap.
Yes. And just get used to his great catchphrases coming up, like, what it do, and yup, yup, yup.
Oh, God.
Oh, so he's stealing from Craig Ferguson. What it do, everybody?
Oh, my God. I feel bad for him already. Okay.
How about this one? Christian and Heath Slater.
Maybe they could be kayfabe brothers, since Heath Slater's been compared to Edge for a while now.
The PG-13 superstar, supposedly.
Yes.
Matt Hardy and Justin Gabriel.
And that would be Justin Angel from SCW, which I
that
reiterate
is right.
every time I look at his picture on the SCW website, he looks like every Bruce Lee clone from every 3D fighting game ever made.
He's got a great 450 slash.
I reiterate.
Yes.
Then we have R-Truth and Jennifer Hudson's boyfriend, David Otunga.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
I can give you one good guess for why he's actually on the show, and it's not his ability. he's not ready at all, but here he is.
And then probably the pairing that could be considered to be the most awesome.
Jeez.
The Miz. And Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. everybody, Bryan
Danielson.
Yeah.
However, and I'll make this short, WWE is doing a beautiful job of promoting this because everybody knows who the hell Daniel Bryan, a.k.a. Bryan Danielson is. There is a great Mark blog on the WWE Universe written in The Miz's voice about it, and if they do this right, it's going to be awesome.
And if they don't do it right, then in 1 year we'll have Bryan Danielson, TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
No. I just think it's one of these things that it's going to be, I am the Miz, and I am your trainer, and Bryan's going to look at him and say, you got that backwards.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I just hope at some point Danielson stands up and the Miz slaps him or something and says, you look at me, I'm the best in the world, and you'll listen to everything I have to say because I'm awesome.
We'll see.
I'm hoping somewhere during the NXT that Mr. Danielson is going to come up to Jericho and say, hey, do you really think you're the best in the world at what you do? Really?
Oh,
borrow him for about 10 minutes.
and by the way, the rumor is, I'm looking at it right now, that Skip Sheffield's mentor has been replaced.
Oh.
Yeah. As William Regal, not MVP.
Good.
I'll wait till that comes down, and then I can switch it on my website.
That's what it says on the wiki page, but we all know how reliable Wikipedia is.
I'm looking at it from the WWE webpage, and I'm also looking at it from PW Insider as well.
Hmm.
William Regal, and a mentally challenged cowboy.
All right,
but, gee, we haven't seen this storyline before.
I guess Regal has experience with them.
Somewhere Dinsmore is crying.
Don't do that.
All right. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't know if we can actually do pick'ems.
Why not?
How do we do pick'ems on four matches?
It's five, I believe.
It's four matches. Hang on.
Well,
IC, WWE Chamber, World Heavyweight Chamber.
Uh-huh. And I believe it's Edge Batista as well. It'll be announced officially, I think.
Well, I have it on WWE's official website.
Let's see. Okay, we're going to have the two chambers, the IC match, the Divas Championship finals.
Time they got to it.
Well, they decided to put it off till here so that, to give it some more importance. I've heard the rumor about Edge Batista being thrown on the pay-per-view as well, since they didn't get to finish what they were doing on this past SmackDown because Undertaker just had his panties in a bunch all night.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Well, during the opening promo, he's sitting there playing with the power. During one of the matches, his pyro goes off. During the main event, he's like, damn it, I'm not out there. Gong!
Matt Hardy putting his hands on McCool backstage didn't help matters.
Which made Taker ask the all-important question.
Oh. Right.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
That's absolutely right.
Well, the way I would do it is just four matches, 4 points. Not who's first and who's last. I'm just saying who comes out and who wins.
All right, four matches, 6 points. That's what I officially have.
Okay.
Wait, let me open Excel. That way I have a spreadsheet to make sure I document it this time.
Thank you, VRM.
Okay, ready.
Because I have some Haribo Gold Bears.
Sure.
All right, Gallican versus Mer.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
No.
Gallican versus Maurice. Who wins? Jason. Actually, VRM, we'll start with you.
Because there's so few points in this, I'm actually going to make a pick here and go with. I have no idea which way the feud's going, so I'm going to go with Gail Kim.
Jason?
It's going to be Maurice. They're going to do a classy thing, and Gail Kim's going to say, I speak French too, bitch, or something to that effect. But it's Maurice.
Typo.
Maurice.
Nikki.
This one's tough, because Maurice seems to be the one getting the bigger crowd reactions, but Gail has been putting up the brave fight. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Gail.
Jim,
I'll add to that limb. I'm gonna go with Gail Kim in what would be a minor upset.
Is as much as I want to do this. I stand by my original prediction and say that Maurice will win the match. Like I predicted 2 months ago when Melina got injured.
When I jumped on your throat 2 months ago because you were bitching about it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're still kind of grumbly about it?
Yes.
Whatever.
That's okay. I'll just play a copy of Street Fighter 2 and just beat the bloody hell out of Blanca 10,000 times. It'll make me happy.
Now, the next time you come over, you will be killed.
Whoa! All right.
Whoa!
No, he cheats in the corner. He uses Honda and cheats in the corner with a 100-head slap.
I only did that once, and the rest of the times I beat you legit.
Oh, God, video game keyboard, man. Jeez.
Icy title.
Yes.
Drew McIntyre versus Kane. Who wins, Jim?
I go Drew McIntyre here.
Blanca?
That. Nikki.
If he's going to keep this shit up, I'm not going to talk.
All right, Nikki.
McIntyre retains because Kane doesn't win at pay-per-views.
Jason?
McIntyre continues his undefeated streak as the chosen one.
Hey, Phil.
The chosen one.
Long show. DRM.
What Nikki said, Kane had a pay-per-view, McIntyre wins.
When was the last time Kane actually won at a pay-per-view? Armageddon 2006 when he burnt MVP to a crisp?
WrestleMania 24 when he beat Chavo in 10 seconds.
Ooh, Chavo.
Yeah, it's going to be Drew Mac. And my apologies for bringing up the Blanca thing.
Hug it out, you two. Hug it out.
Yeah, hug it out.
I'm fine. I just, you know.
Next one, what are we doing, Raw or the SmackDown Chamber?
The Raw Chamber.
Ooh.
Okay, 2 points for this one. The players are Sheamus, John Cena, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Triple H, and Ted DiBiase. Number one. Who walks out with the belt? Number two, who gets eliminated first? VRM, start us off.
As tempting as I say, Ted first. I'm actually going to go Kofi's going to be out first. And as much as it pains me to say it, Orton's walking out with a belt.
That does pain me. Hi, Po.
Okay. I'm climbing out on my limb in both categories. First elimination, Ted DiBiase pins Randy Orton.
Whoa!
Whoa!
And Sheamus is walking out still champion.
That is walking out on a limb. I'll make a bet with you.
No. You never go well. Shelton Benjamin is not in this match.
All right, Jason.
I am going to say that Kofi Kingston will be pinned first. And I will say that John Cena will be your new heavyweight champion because of something later on, which I'll get to in a minute in the SmackDown Chamber. Because I have an even more whacked out prediction for the SmackDown Chamber.
Can't wait, Nikki.
I see Ted Jr. being pinned first, being the rookie in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H walking out with the belt because of something that's going to happen with the SmackDown Chamber.
Jimbo.
Well, do I get an extra point if I say Kofi doesn't even make it into the chamber? No, you're not going there.
It happened last year, so I wouldn't put it past WWE to do it again.
Exactly, which is why Kofi's going to be first eliminated, if you will. And I have a funny feeling Triple H is going to win, too, so I'm going to go with Trips.
And guess what, Jim?
What?
You have the right answer.
Thank you. I always do. Wait, what?
I'm going Kofi and Trips.
In that case, I'm screwed.
I hate my job.
5 minutes for SmackDown Chamber.
Undertaker, Jomo, Punk, Jericho, Mysterio, and some guy who doesn't belong. Oh, Archer. Who wins? Who gets eliminated first, Jim?
You know, it's really tempting to say R-Truth is going to be the first one out, but I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm going to say Morrison's going to be the first one knocked out. And I think it's time for a straight-edge champion. I'm going CM Punk.
Thank you.
Sadly, Morrison might be the first one eliminated because they're not going to do the I'm going to kill somebody before they get in the chamber thing with the Raw chamber. They're going to do it with the SmackDown chamber. As Michaels, in every attempt to get at The Undertaker, is going to flatten Morrison before he even gets in the, inside. But in the process of all this, Jericho's going to make good on his guarantee. And Michaels is going to be the one responsible for screwing Taker out of it.
So Morrison gets eliminated first, Jericho wins, okay?
Right.
Jason.
Nikki's exactly right. That is my scenario to a T. Morrison out because of Michaels, Jericho wins the belt.
Typho.
I'm going to say Jericho walks out with the belt, Morrison first eliminated.
Okay. ERM.
Jericho's got to win the belt to put to give Edge his match at Mania. And yeah, I'll go Morrison now first.
R-Truth getting eliminated first. What's up? Thank you. And The Undertaker will retain.
And saved.
And, yes. Well, that pretty much is what we planned on covering tonight. I just want to announce something special for next week.
Oh, yes. I was apprised of this earlier.
Yep. Because next week we'll be doing a special version of the North American Wrestling Connection. NAWCQI.
Okay. Now, I assume since it's a non-pay-per-view week, I will not be here, correct?
You will be here.
Okay.
Because we have a buzzer with your name on it.
Uh-oh.
We have a buzzer with Nikki's name on it.
Uh-oh.
We have a buzzer with Typho's name on it.
Really? Uh-oh. Yay.
And, Jim, we got your name on a buzzer, too.
You've been
warned. Yay, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's only a four-person game, VRM.
How does QI work? To explain it in 2 minutes.
Pretty much, I ask you a question. You get points for right answers and being interesting with your answers.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get points deducted for falling into a Heffalump trap, which is, you know, like an obvious answer, but it's wrong. You know, the obvious answer, which is probably, could be a right answer, but it's the wrong answer. And that is a forfeiture of 10 points.
I'll have to watch, are there episodes online?
Definitely, YouTube it.
Because when I was in snowy Columbus, me and Nikki pretty much watched an entire series of QI.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, Jason, you'll love it. It's hilarious. If you like British humor.
I do.
You'll love
it. You'll love this.
But an NAWCQI.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Which means I'm Stephen Fry. In multiple senses of the word.
But next week, the road to WrestleMania really starts.
Yes, it does. And for all of those fine folks, I am Robert Seidelman saying cheerio, ta-ta for now. Good night.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Good night and good luck.
Watch for me at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That should be fun. I guess everybody's gone. Good night.